Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. Host Green Diva Meg and co-host Green Diva Mizar share resources and ideas as they explore fun and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. And now, your host, Green Diva Meg.
Well, we just had kind of a wacky schedule because on Christmas morning, instead of opening gifts with all my little kitties, I was in New York on Fox Good Day New York, which was really entertaining. And if I hadn't have been so sick, it would have been more entertaining.
But you pulled it off. I mean, it looked great. The segment was great. I wish I had given you just a skosh more time.
Yeah,
but that happens all the time.
It was funny because we had they wanted me to have 5 points ready, and we got to 4 because, you know, it was fun. I mean, Dave Price was having fun with me, and that gal, Anna. They were very nice.
Yeah.
They were very nice.
Well, Dave Price is seasoned. I don't know Anna, but you have to excuse. Well, now it's my turn to sound a little hoarse and rowky because it's going around this thing.
See, I'm trying not to cough into the mic, and I exactly coughed into the mic.
Dave Price is seasoned. He knows what he's doing, and, you know, you could tell he was having fun and really taking in what you were saying, and the segment looked great. The pictures looked great. Everything looked great.
It was amazing. It was a Christmas miracle is what it was.
Oh, stop it.
Even my Jewish friends say so. So, you know, for anybody who cares, what I was talking about was just 5 things that I'm going to focus on this year. And they seem very simple and rudimentary to us Green Divas.
Right.
Things like remembering your reusable bag. But I give the reasons why, you know, because I think if you get in the back of your mind that there's a giant island the size of Texas filled with plastic floating around in the Pacific Ocean, you're like, oh, okay, maybe those plastic bags aren't that great.
No.
You know, but just some very basic things that I believe can make an impact that aren't difficult for us necessarily.
Right. Now, it takes 21 days to make a habit. That's what they say.
Right.
So put a little note on your door and even on your steering wheel if you have to. And if that means going back in to retrieve those bags, then you should do it.
Right.
You know, because you get to the grocery store and you go, oh, rats.
That's me. I'm so guilty of that. Forget it. If it's not in my car already, I'll forget it.
It's just a matter of percentages for me. And you know what? The more practice I have, the less, you know, now I'm like 80% I remember. But there's still that time I'm like, darn it.
Well, put it on your keys. Do something. I mean, I call that idiot proofing. But you know what? I have mastered that on myself. So having done it for myself, I can figure you can do it for anybody else. But yeah, you just have to remember to do it. That's
righty-ho.
All.
Yeah, I always forget. And I actually just found out that at the shop right near me, at least, they'll take back the plastic bags. They have a big
bin. Oh, that's
they have
good.
A big
yeah,
bin
they recycle
because
them.
I forget every time. Yeah. And I finally went up to them. I was like, I have all these plastic bags because I refuse to throw them out. I don't know. I have just a pile. Like, bring it back and we reuse them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know
like
all
that.
Of them do that,
like
but
that.
The ShopRite in Dover, New Jersey.
Yeah. Well, that one, and also the fact that some of them will pay you back for not using plastic bags. Up to
five cents.
My Kings gives us $4 per
dollar.
I know, really.
I'm in.
I'm using 10 bags.
You will never forget to bring a bag if it's $4.
$4 per bag. And I'm like, all right, hey, you know what adds up after a while? So that was kind of exciting, but that threw off my whole schedule. Now, a lot of people know, maybe they don't, that December 31st is not only New Year's fun for me, but now it is my wedding anniversary.
That's correct. Because 1 year.
Which is funny because Wayne and I have been together and really like a family for 15 years, if not a little bit more, but we've been engaged for that long. And then we finally got married last year. And people are all confused because they thought we were married all along. But so anyway, we got invited by these folks in Montclair who have an exquisite restaurant called Adara.
This is Montclair, New Jersey.
Montclair, New Jersey, to go and have dinner and review and you know, just get to know them. You know, they're smart. They're smart people. They know that I'll talk it up. And
well, especially because you loved it so much. You've been talking about it since we got in this morning.
Ad nauseum, right?
Yeah.
I know.
Sorry. And all the wonderful displays and applications and presentations he did.
I'll give you a quick rundown, but then I'm going to post more about it in the show post. Jamie's helping me with all that. He calls it modernist food. It's a modernist style. I call it like art and meets science meets, you know, food. It's a foodie.
meets the foodie.
meets foodie Meg.
Art, science, but
when,
and foodies.
You know, when someone brings out a Buddha bowl.
A Buddha bowl?
Buddha bowl, which was this glass plate with a little hole in it and a bowl underneath of glass with herbs in it. And, you know, they use a lot of nitrous oxide and nitrogen.
That's
and
dry ice for folks who don't know to create that effect. And I guess it kind of cooks the food, too, maybe?
Well, it creates an aromatic smoke, which brings out the flavor of the herb as you're eating the food on the plate. Unbelievable. And, like, they had these mocktails. And there was one called Crimson and Cloves. And it came with a burning piece of cinnamon stick.
In the drink.
In the drink. Seriously, it was just everything was the detail. I think one of my favorite things was the nitrogen fried Roquefort mousse.
Wow.
Okay, all right, that they put in this wait a minute, I have notes here because I can't even remember it all.
You just were in a food haze.
Oh, I was really in a food the Sunchoke Espuma, which was it was nitrous oxide aerated soup. Right, and then they put this. They bring the thing out in the mousse, the Roquefort mousse, nitrogen fried. Right, and it's they bring it out in a special little container, and it's smoking from the dry ice. And then they put it in this aerated soup, and it just kind of melts in. And it's an extraordinary taste bud party. And I will say that I ate all my favorite foods the next day.
And they were no longer your favorites.
And then, like, nothing worked.
I'll bet. So it was a seven-course meal that you
had? We had a seven-course tasting, which is they have a vegetable tasting for vegetarians like myself. They have a regular tasting. And they have some kind of grand tour, which
they
do
the grand tour. I was on the
really
website.
When you have like 6 hours, because we were there for four. Well, you have to take a break. And they're not enormous portions.
Right.
But I had to eat every bit of whatever they brought to me because I couldn't help myself.
Oh, I would have too, without any shame or embarrassment.
And I will say the only thing, and I have pictures, the only thing that I didn't love is one of the courses, which I loved everything except he put this saffron air, which was like this yellow, bubbly, frothy air on my plate. And it was just a little bitter. It was very, very pretty. Very pretty.
Put air on your plate?
Well, you know, he calls it saffron air, but it's like this bubbly.
It's like
frothy.
Eating science food.
Yeah, it is. It's
food
like a science
future.
Food of the future. Food of the future. Well, chef of the future.
I also especially like the name because Adara is the name of a star in Canis Major, and I love all that. So
love this.
It's a beautiful Middle Eastern name. And what is the chef's name? Chef
Goshal?
Goshal.
Goshal?
Goshal. So
very nice man. And we got a tour of the kitchen, which
nice.
It's like a science. Yeah, I mean,
laboratory.
It's like a lab. Yeah, thank you. All right, now, before we move on to more fun, I want to take a moment to just acknowledge my dear ex-husband who died this past week. He's Green Dude Scott's brother. His name was John David Rousseau. And, you know, he's partially responsible for why we're sitting here today because he was a major, major part of Relevant Times magazine when I started it in the 1990s.
1991
was the picture.
Right.
I posted a picture of us, and he was really a huge support and help. And, you know, I miss him right now because he was a tech guy.
Yeah.
And, like, even recently, if I had trouble with my Mac, because he was a Mac guy, too, I would call him up like, John, he worked for Apple.
Yeah.
John, what do I do? What do I do?
Yeah.
So it's...
Ex-husbands don't have to be enemies or ex-friends.
Oh, not at all.
You know,
not at all.
It just,
no, we
sometimes
were,
it doesn't work out. And
we were not meant to be married, but
right,
we made a beautiful daughter with our daughter Mary.
Yeah.
And it's been very, very hard on her. Very sad.
Well, she's young.
And
she looks just like him.
She does.
Well, see, it's funny because a lot of people look at me and they think we're twins.
Oh, really?
No, I'm serious. But if you look at her and
him,
so either he and I look alike or some weird fusion's gone on there.
Genetics, I
didn't think I was. yes, but it is interesting. And
yes.
Anyway, I think I just want to, again, acknowledge rest in peace, John Rousseau, and thank you.
Yes, rest in peace.
All right, then. Now let's move on to our, who do we have, Lima?
Green correspondent.
Thank you for filling in.
Green
I lost
diva
myself there.
Correspondent.
Green diva correspondent everywhere, as Mizar likes to talk.
Yeah.
Lima?
Yes. Yes, hello.
Hello.
Happy New Year.
I'm doing great. Happy New Year to you all.
Let me see if I can pronounce your name right. Lima Adamatis Brown?
You hesitate, but that's correct. Lima Adamatis Brown.
I always question myself, and I've known you for so long. And you're down in, are you in Alabama?
Yep, Gulf Shores, Alabama.
Oh, how lovely.
And just because we haven't talked to her in a while, I want to mention her beautiful artwork through Art Weeds. That's the name of your company, right?
Thank you.
And she does a lot of interesting eco art, wearable, beautiful eco art, which I just saw a picture of me wearing that pin you sent me recently.
Thank you. I'll have to send you some more.
So what's going on in Alabama?
Well, you know, I think a lot of us green people have always really been interested in, you know, eco-friendly constructions and philosophies, and they just opened in Orange Beach a shipping container restaurant called The Gulf.
Oh, really?
Oh, cool.
I've heard of those.
Yeah, it's really cool. And so I kind of looked into it a little bit. There's so much information out there. But it's called Intermodal Container Architecture.
Wow.
Yes, I know, fancy name. And, you know, the thing is, the it's not unreasonable to purchase, like, a used one, you know, anywhere from $500 to, you know, possibly a couple thousand, because they come in various different sizes. They can be huge, like, you know, from by 8 feet by 60 feet.
Wow.
Or smaller.
Mm-hmm. And these are the things that like Maersk, is it Maersk Sealand, you know, uses these things, and they put them right on trains and ship stuff
right.
on.
Right, from the ship to the train to the truck. Yep.
Yeah, that's what's so neat, because they're very sturdy, they're very strong.
Go ahead, Lima.
On trucks, on ships.
But then I would guess you have to cut windows in and mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Air.
Okay. And
things
air.
Like that.
Yeah.
Well, that's the issue. The, you know, getting it to you is what's very expensive to ship, because you have to have, like, a tractor trailer bring it to you. And it's the conversion. It's the conversion that's
right.
really expensive.
Wow.
So I think it has a lot of potential out there, because there's a huge excess amount of these shipping containers.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some, like, shipping container graveyard somewhere, and these things can be salvaged?
And actually, yeah, and that's why probably they opened one in Alabama, because in the port cities, see, the ships come in, they leave the stuff, and it's so expensive to ship the shipping containers back. And I guess we have more stuff, consumers that we are, more stuff coming in than we're shipping out.
Oh.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
Now, was this restaurant just one big container, or was
mm-hmm.
it several put together, or?
Yeah, it just opened a couple months ago, and it's one container right now, and it's mostly outside, like the restaurant bar area is outside. And that's kind of the neat thing about these containers. They can add, and they're planning on, you know, you can stack on top, stack next to each other.
It's like Legos.
Yeah, exactly. It is.
Sorry. Go ahead.
So that's good. And that's, I mean, I think there is great potential, but I think there's probably, to be affordable, probably be a little bit more time frame before it's really, you know, something that can be utilized a lot.
Well, you know what? More and more people will design easy, you know, restoration fixes,
right.
like, you know, air systems and windows mm-hmm. inserts and things for these things once they become more popular, because we're talking about them. Because if you're, like, really cool, you know, Green Divas are on the cutting edge.
Yeah, and it really has such a neat look. I think it does, in a kind of industrial, contemporary, you know,
It's like this new industrial design. You know, you're seeing some of that, like, even in coffee tables, and it's sort of kind of chic.
Well, I saw a picture of one. It was in London, like in a muse, you know, and it was kind of half open. You know, it was like one of those ones where they cut out the, almost like a truck, you know, like but it was an old container. And, you know, there are people who are taking dumpsters and making homes out of them, or
wow.
showing how you can make, how you can, you know, clean them up. And convert them and make. I know. Yeah, Bizarre's face. I wish I took a picture of that.
Well, because dumpster just to me
I know it's
implies funstunkene. You know.
What language is funstunkene?
It's Yiddish, actually.
Okay.
My friend Frank Cipolla, which we'll have on as a green dude someday.
Yeah.
You know, it's a nice Yiddish word for really stinky.
That's funny. So what else is going on in Alabama?
We really have some really mild weather. It's just really a nice time of year to be here. But we did have some of those storms because of the weather shift. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is that time because, you know, it's warm one day and then really chilly. But it's kind of like this time of year, the
Well, maybe we'll have to come down there.
Well, yeah, anytime. Remember, I'd love to have some kind of Green Divas convention down here.
There you go.
Yeah, our convention.
Wow. Ooh, what a good idea.
Well, but I thought that folks flocked to the Gulf from the north, you know, like the snowbirds, you know, they flock down during our winter up here, and it's freezing in New Jersey these days.
They, you know, we do get quite a few, and they usually come, like, after Christmas. So coming up in a couple weeks, they'll come, and they'll stay, like, through mid-March or something. But it'll be another busy time for the snowbirds down here. We do get quite a few of those.
Okay. All right, well, that's good. And I know that, you know, I don't know where you stand on BP, but, of course, they're doing that whole big push sponsored by BP, come back to the Gulf after that.
Yeah, they're trying to
they're really
beef up the tourism.
They're really doing a big PR thing over
well,
there.
Well, they should.
But, yeah, they should. But I guess that's a good thing, right, Lima?
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, I had talked about it another time. Remember, I did a BP update.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like mixed feelings here. I mean, sure, we want the promotion, the tourism, but with BP, you know, it's just always feel like I just recently did a survey online from folks from this area that just haven't done enough. I mean, we just don't feel like they've done what they really need to do. I mean, again, you know, done some things, but you know, they're responsible for it. So,
and it's still going on. Like you're still living through this. It is not, you know, fixed or back to where you were, right?
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's you know, you can't see it visibly, but you know, it's in there. You know, it's.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's there.
Are you
it's
eating there. Shrimp locally?
Yes, I mean, I do. I mean, I you know, I support the area for that. And again, kind of like whatever. The free spirit that I am.
Take one for the team.
Well, cuz I think that it's going to be in the earth, in the ocean for a gazillion years.
Yeah.
Oof.
Aw.
Not good.
Well, I'm so glad you called, and so we'll talk to you again in a few weeks. I can't wait, because you've always got fun stuff. And in the meantime, people can look and see some of her beautiful designs at artweeds.com, correct?
Well, yep.
All right,
thank
then.
You.
I am very curious.
All right.
I have not seen them. Lima, I'm glad you're going to share.
Nice talking to both of you. Nice meeting Mazar, Green Diva Mazar. I don't think I spoke to her before. So.
No, nope. Brand new this year. So, yes, that's me.
Welcome. Oh,
thank you, Lima. Thank Green Diva
Thanks,
Lima.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow. Okay, there we go. I know we're all, like, sniffling, coughing.
Word. Just got to clear the out of your throat. That's awful. I was trying to be delicate.
Oh, you're such a delicate flower.
Not really.
Let's take a break and blow our noses.
Yes.
Everybody, please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Green Light with the original Green Diva, Megan McWilliams. Useful ideas for low-stress green living straight from the Fun Green Divas radio show.
Green information overload? These one-word book reviews might help.
Hey, Meg, I have to get some presents, and of course I have to buy green. Got any ideas where to go?
Yeah, buygreen.com is my favorite place to shop online for anything green. Here, check this out.
Ooh, look at that great rating system.
It's simple, clear, look at all the goodies. One-stop shopping for home or office.
Ooh, wait, did you see that bag?
Buygreen.com, a Green Diva's trusted source for great green shopping. If you're anything like me, you're too busy to read all the wonderful books coming out about how to achieve a greener lifestyle. Out of the 50 books in my review stack, here are three of my favorites and my one-word reviews for each. On Bicycles, 50 Ways the New Bike Culture Can Change Your Life, edited by Amy Walker. Motivating. Farmer Jane, Women Changing the Way We Eat, by Tamara Costa. Naturally. Food Not Lawns, How to Turn Your Yard into a Garden and Your Neighborhood into a Community, by H.C. Flores. Grassroots.
To find out more about the Green Divas radio show and podcast, visit thegreendivas.com.
For step-by-step instructions on this DIY project and to find out more about the Green Divas...
Hi, this is Fran Drescher, and remember, a cancer answer is cancer schmancer. And you're listening to the Green Divas.
That still always cracks me up. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Green Divas radio show. You're on with Green Diva Meg.
And Green Diva Mizar.
And Green Diva Jamie.
All right. Hey, we're going to talk to our Green Diva Jamie, who's been, like, talk about Green Diva everywhere. She's been riding camels in Israel.
Put up your Facebook page. I need to see this.
Yeah. But she has a lot of pictures.
I will post for the world my camel
pictures. Yeah. Well, we're going to post them on The Green Divas. Here's my time for my shameless plug, everybody. Ready? TheGreenDivas.com.
Okay. And Jamie, what's your Facebook handle? Because I don't know how else to call it.
Jamie Lee.
L-E-I-G-H?
Yes.
How did I
know that? So tell us about your trip.
Oh, it was amazing. Well, I'll give a little background that I am half Israeli.
Uh-huh.
Yes. My father moved here in the 80s. And through this organization called Birthright, which is basically every Jew between the age of 18 and 26 has the right to visit Israel whenever they want for free. They pay for it completely.
Special.
Yeah. And they take you around and, you know, help introduce you to Judaism and Israel. And it's just this crazy 10 days where you wake up at 6:30 every morning and you go to bed at 11 completely exhausted because you just go through the entire, you know, country.
The entire country? Oh, there she is on
which is
camera.
The size of New Jersey. So it doesn't sound
isn't
like
that
a lot.
Amazing?
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy, the entire country. And, you know, a lot of it is just desert, so people can't even live in it. So they're basically only living in about like 40% of the actual country because it's just so much desert.
Really?
Yeah.
So did
hence the camels?
Hence the adorable camels. But I'll tell you about my camel experience.
Yeah, I want to hear about the camels.
Yes. So I am, as my friends and family like to say, a little crazy about animals. And
it's okay.
Yeah. And I am really, really against using animals for entertainment. You will never find me at a SeaWorld. You will never find me at a circus or riding the elephant or things
I
like that.
I love this girl.
Of course we do.
It breaks my heart.
This is exactly how I feel. My kids have never been. I mean, I took them to the Bronx Zoo once. Yeah. And I thought, okay, they do research here, not so bad.
Yeah, I'm very picky on my zoos. Very
but
picky.
But circuses, anything like that,
me.
I cannot stand it.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Just give me an icky feeling.
Yeah.
Whale watching gave me an icky feeling.
Isn't that weird?
No. Yeah. That's because you go out there, look, I don't know, but when the dolphins came up on
like
our,
you're intruding or something.
Yeah, I'll never swim with dolphins.
Right.
I can't.
Although I really do. I have to admit, I want to swim with a dolphin.
Well, that's how my camel experience was, because I knew in my heart, I was like, I'm not going to like this, you know, but it's like, I'm in Israel. I want to ride a camel. I've never even seen a camel. So I was like,
do what Israelis do. You get on a camel.
So, when in Rome.
Sorry.
So woke up real early. Yeah, camel's on. Woke up real early with the group. And first thing you see is just these lines of camels, you know, all tied up together. So that was my first inkling. I was like, ugh. So then you get on, you hop on, and they're laying down. So it's not like you're jumping in the air. And then the way they get up is they do their back. Their butt goes up and then they go up. So you're kind of like flung in the air.
Wow.
That's a little terrifying.
A little
and
scary.
I hate heights. So I was like, oh.
Yeah, they're tall, right?
They're tall. Yeah, they're tall.
Taller than horses.
Yes.
They're taller than horses.
They're very tall. And then you start going. And it was just sad, you know, watching them just walk, you know, very slowly in this like kind of like predestined line. And you knew that this is what they were going to be doing all day long. And then at the end, to get them to sit back down, they kind of give them like a little whip in the back. And they make this awful crying sound. And that's when I was like, get me off of this. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
So I got my pictures on the camel and I was out. I was like, no, done with that. It was too sad.
Too sad.
But I mean.
Well, what was your favorite part of the trip?
So the best part about Israel is the north and south are like 100 million miles apart, it seems like, because the north is really green. There's waterfalls. It's beautiful.
It's verdant.
Yeah. And then you get to the desert and it's just flat and just dry. And there's one part in the Negev desert and it is all canyons. These just enormous, beautiful canyons.
I would never have thought that.
No. And I'll put pictures of those up too, because they're just the most spectacular thing I ever saw.
You mean if you ever find your camera?
Well,
Did you lose it?
I got my camera stolen.
Oh,
yeah, she told me that before. Yeah.
I was pretty devastated. But then, you know, I did my Zen. Look where I am. I'm in Israel for free. I can't be sad over something so trivial.
Right.
Like, it's not that big of a deal.
Good attitude.
So I got over that pretty fast. But, no, it was just so beautiful. These giant canyons. And, like, you just realize how small you are in the world. And it's just like all these different cultures. You know, you got Christians, Jews, Arabs, and they're all just fused into this crazy country. And
ancients.
I ate falafel every day.
Did you?
Yeah.
Because you're a vegetarian.
Yeah.
You're like me.
Yeah.
No lamb. None of that.
No shawarma for me.
No shawarma.
Is that what's called lamb in Hebrew?
Yeah, it's like
meat. Shawarma?
It's like beef. A beef. I'm not even sure if it's beef. They say meat. And then you're like, what kind of meat is that? And then they don't tell you. So you don't really know what it is.
Falafel,
then,
please.
And they have the best eggplant.
Eggplant and falafel. I would live on that.
Yeah, that's what I do live off of.
I seriously could live on that. Your face is not happy. I hate to say it.
It's two of my least favorite.
Really?
Hummus. I can't wrap my... I love beans. I love everything that goes into falafel. Just when you make it into a falafel ball, it's not my favorite.
Oh. Well, see, they don't do it right here.
Fried.
They don't do it right here.
I don't know. That's what I was told. Maybe that's why I don't like it. But
now,
I mean, and I'll eat just about anything. But falafel would not be first on my list.
That's funny. And so what's going on that's green over there?
Well,
you had to have your green eye on.
You had to have your green eye on.
I always have my green eye on. But the one thing that I was most surprised about, because I never hear it, never talk about it, is just how much the Israel invests in what they call clean tech.
Yeah.
Because, and everywhere you go, all you see is solar panels. And I asked finally one day, I was like, what is with all the solar panels? Because you'll never find this in the U.S. And they said, you know what? We don't have the space to put, you know, all these electrical wires, all this stuff. Like, this is what we have to do. It's what they've done since they started in the 50s. They started investing in it. I mean, every house is connected in some way to solar.
To solar panels.
Yeah. It's,
you know,
astounding.
You think about this. We have a huge source of energy, and it's free.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
The sun. Let's tap into that.
El Sol.
I think. And did you ask if it was as costly as it is here in the United States, or is that, you know, because that's what impedes a lot of people from getting solar, obviously, is the initial cost set up.
Well, I think the Israeli government probably has supported
they
the whole.
That was my point.
That may be Green Dude Scotty. We may have to put him on the air.
Yeah, so that's really cool, though, because now here in New Jersey, County College of Morris, solar panels everywhere on that campus. And, you know, I know here we have a lot of options. People can either rent or buy out or what have you, buy outright, rent, or somehow do something. But that's amazing. I had
no
idea.
The government itself invests so much money into it because that's all they've been doing. It's all they know because they don't have the space that we have. And they don't have the luxury of being able to, you know, put, you know, wires everywhere and all this stuff. And they use a lot of their water sources, like the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean. They use a lot of their water
sources. They have to. See, necessity, I think. We just don't understand.
We're spoiled.
Now, speaking of that, I'm gonna interrupt our little soiree because we got Green Dude Scott calling in, and it's a special time because we never get Green Dude Scott. So I'm sorry, Jamie.
That's all right.
But we're gonna put this on thegreendivas.com. Scott, are you with us? Hello?
Are you talking to me, Meg?
Are you talking to me? I'm talking to you. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Seth. How you doing?
Green Dude Scott on the air. Yeah, I'm so excited. Yeah, we miss you.
A year or so.
Well, I don't know if you're listening to what we're talking about, but this is so up your alley because we're talking about Green Diva. Jamie's been in Israel, and Israel is so on it when it comes to getting into this reusable, renewable resources, man.
Well, we would be too if it wasn't for, you know, the corporation. You know.
Well, that's part of it, but it's very Green Dude Scott, techie fun. Yeah, we need you.
Yeah, well, one of these days we'll get all this stuff up here taken care of, and I'll have more time to spend with you guys.
Good. Now, did you hear the opening of the show?
I just got home.
Okay, I did a little tribute to Brother John.
Yeah, Brother John.
Who actually, I you know, he really has helped, you know, create what we have today because he was very helpful with the Relevant Times magazine in the beginning.
Yeah, I love the pictures that were posted of way back when.
Yeah, well, Tracy is going to sue me for posting that picture.
Why?
Well, because she has the most unfortunate haircut. Mine is not.
The one all the way to the left.
Yeah, see?
Wait, you know what? Hi, Green Dude Scott. This is Green Diva Mizar. I can't wait to meet you.
Hey, well, you have.
We have?
Yes. Well. We have met long, long time ago.
Oh, but not.
Get up at 0:30 in the morning to go to work.
Yes, okay.
whole other story.
You're absolutely right. But I saw that picture and I went, is this 1991 or 1950? Because that poor woman with that hair.
Well,
she's
all those
kill
old
you.
Pictures, you have to be very careful when you post pictures like that because hairstyles were different.
Well, that's why I made sure to put the date, you know, because we were just coming out of the 80s, so there are still shoulder pads in those coats,
right? Yeah, the pictures
right?
Oh, yeah. Show the date. Oh, yeah. Don't worry.
And the funny thing is John must be standing on a rock because he looks like he's about 7 feet tall.
No, he's not.
Oh.
Is he?
But Meg,
no, he's not. He's not 7 feet tall. Meg, what?
He looks tall.
You're not exactly the tallest person.
No, but literally, he and Cinda look like they're like 2 feet taller. I mean, really, I look quite miniaturized there. But anyway, but that was our crew back then, and Isn't it funny how things evolve, and now you're our favorite green dude?
Yes, yes, and I can't wait to come back and do more techie stuff.
Yeah.
And we can't wait to have you here, because while Megan is learning really fast and furiously, we still have our gremlins.
We do, we do.
Oh, well, the gremlins are good. It makes it interesting.
No, let me be clear. Green Dude Scott is good with green techie stuff, but when it comes to computer techie stuff,
That's not his forte.
All
right.
Well, it might be. It might be. I don't know. But you.
Or you don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't. You know, we were so spoiled at our last studio, because now it's me again playing with the board. So, oh well.
Which could be fun.
It has been.
Never a dull moment.
Now you did see. You did make a I guess you liked my. I've joined Team LLS, which is Leukemia Lymphoma Society. This year I'm going to ride that ride instead of the Police Unity Tour ride.
Wow, yeah, I saw that.
Brother John and Rabina's parents are both died from cancer.
Yeah, and my parents. Well, you don't have to ride for my parents, but, you know, I'm just tossing them in there.
Right, well, unfortunately, too many people have been lost, and this is an ongoing battle. And, you know, they're every year they make strides in treatment and finding a way to at least find some cures for some of the cancers that are affecting our family members.
Well, I will support you. So, and what we'll do is we'll post something on the Green Divas page, and we'll, you know, frequently post it on the Facebook page, so people will support you in this, because I will support you for sure.
Okay, well, that makes two of us.
Yeah, Jamie. I know. We're like, come on, Jamie.
Jamie's busy keying out this discussion for our at-home listeners.
Yeah, yeah.
So all good.
All right. Well, listen, and Scotty, by the way, lives in Sandy Hook, Connecticut.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
Newtown,
he's had
Connecticut.
Yeah.
Oh, Newtown, where Sandy Hook is. School,
You live right there, Scott?
Oh, yeah. We're less than a quarter mile from the school.
Oh, my word.
So they've had, you know, people in their front yard and the horror of everything. Now, I guess there's also hope that comes through, you know. I mean, but it must be very challenging to have all those people there. Are they starting to go away?
Well, yes. They actually, on Friday, they picked up all the memorials and the millions of teddy bears that people had brought. And it was very touching. There were times I felt kind of shoved aside while the world came here to mourn. But the other side of that, it was the outpouring of love and support that came from all over the world.
Yeah.
Was very helpful.
Well, everything's moved over.
Was just such a horrible situation.
Everything was moved over to Monroe now, because that's where the children are going to school. So hopefully, the healing will really start now in Newtown.
Well, you know, our green dude Scotty has had a pretty challenging year, but you sound good nonetheless, and we're so glad to hear your voice. So keep healing, and we will talk to you soon, I hope. Okay.
Yeah, that sounds great. Thank you, everyone.
Love you, Scott.
Bye, Scott.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Aw.
That must be so rough, living right there.
And just within a few months, his fiancée, Rose, father died. So they've had a tough time.
I think 2012 for a lot of people. Not that I want to bring it up.
Yeah.
But in reading, I thought I had a rotten year, which I did. But in reading Facebook posts and hearing from my friends, they have kicked 2012 in the hind end so far. I think it was collectively for most people a really kind of dour year.
Well, I think it was a challenging year, and I'm hoping it was, you know, in some ways pushing us to get stronger and better, and those of us that take the challenge and take, you know, turn it into positive action.
Yeah.
But it is tiring. You know?
Oh, it's exhausting,
it
my
is
dear.
Tiring.
It's exhausting. Well, 2013 is a very lucky number in Italy, so I'm running with that. Right?
It's going to be your year.
Lucky, it's my year.
Now,
year.
We've shortened your segment in favor, and yours also, sorry, in favor of Green Dude Scotty.
No worries.
So let's talk quickly about... Wait, before we do.
Well, how much
anything,
time? Now, you'll cut me off when it's time, okay?
Hold on.
Reduce, recycle, reuse, and if you're feeling creative, repurpose. Repurposing is one of Green Diva Mizar's favorite DIY things to do, and it's fun.
It is fun. This is a good one, okay? I'm going to make it really short and sweet. Holidays are over. You've got old candle butts. You've got old raffia
always
ribbon.
Always got candle butts.
You've got even, I don't know, newspaper hanging around because everybody has newspaper around, okay? All right, holidays are behind us. We're now sitting by the fire to stay warm in warmer places.
Right.
People are still barbecue or grilling outside.
Yeah, sure.
Or you've got the fire pit, or you light
the fire next
to the skating
rink. Or the chiminea.
Or the chiminea, anything like that. But starting that fire can be challenging. Well, I learned this little trick, would you believe, in Girl Scouts. And I had written over 30 years ago, but it's closer to 40 years ago.
Seriously?
Seriously. And it is a fail-safe fire starter. You will never not start a fire. No blowing, no fanning the tinder,
right.
None of that stuff. No crumpling up newspapers just to watch it burn out too fast.
Yeah, yeah,
all right? You just cut your newspaper into about five or six inch wide strips lengthwise. Roll them into a tight little roll. Tie them with twine or raffia, whatever you have lying around. Not nylon. You've melted your candle butts. You're going to dip these rolls into the wax, get them saturated, put them aside, let them dry. When you're making your fire, you kind of tuck these in there, put your kindling and tinder over it, or tinder and then kindling, and build your fire the way you normally would.
Yeah.
Light either the wick or the side of these fire starters.
And they're like wax-covered rolls.
So they don't burst into flames and not light your fire. It's a slow burn. And you will have a successful fire every time. They have never failed on me.
You know?
And they keep forever and take minutes to make.
That sounds like almost like that would have been a good gift, you know, to give someone a handful of these
Absolutely.
Things, right? Wrap them up.
Yep.
I'm so sad because we don't have a wood fireplace anymore, wood burning. We have a gas fireplace. Our two beautiful fireplaces. I mean, they're stunning.
But they're both gas.
But they're, and we really, like, kind of grumbled because for us, the wood fire was like a ritual. It was like a nightly ritual, and we really enjoyed it, and we'd go out and collect the wood, and we had the kids help us with the wood and pile, you know, whatever. It's like
a lumberjack job, okay.
Oh my God, so true. So you know, there we were complaining about it, like, oh wow, we're losing our wood. But I'll tell you, when the electricity went off for a week,
yes.
And all we had to do was turn on a knob.
Yeah, I know.
I was like, wow, we are so spoiled.
Yeah, you're very spoiled. But a wood fireplace would do the same thing.
Yeah.
You know.
I know, but then you're in and out, and you're chopping and pulling and hauling.
Well, you have to think ahead and chop the wood beforehand.
Yeah. No, this was pretty special, but I do miss, and I kind of want to reconstruct one of the fireplaces
into
wood.
You just got to cap the gas line. That's all you have to do.
Bye-bye gas line.
That's it. That's all you have to do. But I'll tell you, the fire starters. And the other thing
but
I put on the
site. But we have our chimney outside.
All right.
So we can do that.
All right.
Okay.
All right, we'll do that.
I'm gonna
And then, of course, just to wrap it up, too, is if folks don't know, is that your dryer lint. Just as you're cleaning out that dryer screen every time you do your laundry.
Right, yep. I have a bag full of it.
In a bag or a box, whatever it is, you grab a hunk of it. And this, again, works as an amazing...
Stuff it in there,
light it. I mean, you're supposed to get your dryer vent cleaned out for that very reason, because there are dryer vent fires, right?
Yes.
So, easy. You're not using... And the key
to
this is...
fire starter you.
Well, yes. I'm a little firecracker.
A little firecracker.
No, but you know what this eliminates? Outdoors, you're not using that chemical fire... What do you call it?
That
stinky stuff. What do you call it?
Kerosene or
no, the fire starter,
whatever
it is.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
The fire starter, no plastic bottle that you have to recycle. You're not going to buy that plastic bottle. And you're not putting the lighter fluid.
Sounds like we're
lighter
doing charades
fluid.
In here.
You're
not
using that, and it just burns off naturally, and it's brilliant. It's brilliant. I'm telling you, fail safe. It takes no time at all to do it. And, you know, that's a really good gift for Valentine's. Maybe I can try to use
nothing more romantic.
Romantic
than a
fireplace.
Nothing more romantic.
Except for you, because you have gas.
Yes.
We can blow it up.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
We'll bring the chimney outside. And we'll just
it is so cold outside. Nothing is better than fire. So.
Yeah, good topic. Woohoo!
Yeah, so run with it, folks.
For step-by-step instructions on this DIY project and to find out more about the Green Divas radio show and podcasts, visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
All right. And now, I think, like, in timely fashion, we have Jennifer Boyd. Is that right?
Yep.
Hi, Jennifer. You're on the air.
Well, hi, ladies. I can vaguely hear you speaking to me, and I think you said I'm on the air.
You are. This is Mizar, Jennifer. Yep. How's Vermont?
Hey. Well, apparently it's really far away because it sounds like I'm talking to you through a tin can.
Oh, no.
Can you hear me okay?
Oh, no. Yes, we can hear you perfectly, but can you hear us well enough?
Well, that's the most important thing, as long as you can hear me.
All right. All right.
So Jennifer Boyd is, I guess you're your physician's assistant, but nutritionist, and you have helped many, many, many people sort of live a greener, more natural lifestyle. Is
because
that a
it's
good,
healthier, right?
Yeah, but is that a good characterization, Jennifer?
That's my hope. I have to apologize. It's sort of like using some sort of... assisted device here. I can barely understand.
Oh, no.
I wonder
why
it's... background.
Yeah,
and
we were.
Yes, that is the goal, but I'm trying to help people get on a pathway to leading a more holistically healthy life.
Okay, you know what? Let's just fire away and let you do the talking since we hear you loud and clearly. You have some great tips about living a greener lifestyle in your immediate home or workplace. And if you just want to start running them down for us, that would be great. And I'll just give you the first one you gave us, which is recycling and reusing water in the home. So tell us what we need to do to do that.
Great. Yep, that's a great idea. And I tend to be boorish and long-winded, so feel free to jump up and down.
I doubt that.
And, stop talking. That's what all my friends and family do. I think there's some really simple things you can do, and that's probably the biggest misconception about going green. If you rely on all of the media sources about going green, well, then they'd sell you millions of dollars worth of products, and you'd spend the rest of your natural-born life hooking up rain water barrels and building your own chicken coops. All those things are phenomenal, and I do those things. But I started off in a much simpler place, which is what I advocate for everybody trying to get on this path. Just do little things that don't cost anything at all. And those are sometimes not very sexy, but they're incredibly rewarding. So I encourage everybody who's listening, try one or two things and see how it works. I don't know what your viewership or your listenership is like, but I have children, and I know a lot of people do. And I find that I'm much more successful with these endeavors if I encourage the kids to participate, and I get them excited about it.
Definitely.
And they're pretty easily duped into doing things when you start talking about the Earth and, you know, how you can save the planet and be a hero, and soon you get them taking out your recycling and doing all sorts of other onerous chores.
Duping is good, Jennifer. We have decided duping is good.
Whatever works, man.
If you get your kids to do your work, you've succeeded as a parent.
Exactly.
So I think the water issue is really important because, as I'm sure you ladies already know, our bodies are composed of, at the very least, 70% water. And the younger you are, the more water you have in your body. So our children are more like 90-something percent. And most of your brain is actually largely water. So when you start looking at the amount of molecules in your body, well, then you start talking about having 98% water molecules versus everything else in your body. So it's really significant. And so I'm really passionate about water. And the first thing you want to do is this year start making a pledge that you're going to drink the cleanest water you can. And probably the best way to do this is to start getting educated. We all have this hope that we can believe in our municipal water supplies. And I think they're doing the very best they can with the technology they have. But there's serious limitations. And I encourage people to go to EWG.org. And they have a wonderful resource about water. You can pull up water testing reports from all areas of the country that can tell you exactly what's in your water. You can call a company like Pure2O, and they can come out and test your home water for you, because though your water is filtered and it meets certain EPA standards, it's actually really insufficient for human consumption. So right now, I don't know if you ladies read in the New York Times just before the holidays, but there was a big article about pharmaceuticals and how they're trickling down into our potable water.
Oh, it's horrifying.
It's so upsetting. So, you know, here we are trying to do right by our kids by giving them a glass of water in the morning, and that's actually a glass of excreted antibiotics and...
And who knows what else?
It's
horrifying.
Incredible. So it's compounding the problems that we're seeing with our children today, which is attention deficit disorder and autism spectrum issues and this ongoing pandemic of cancers. So you really want to focus on, get on EWG.org, get familiar with the issues that are affecting your water, particularly if you have well water. You really want, to the best of your ability, and to the extent your pocketbook will allow, a great home filtration system. And that will alleviate a huge burden on bottled water, because the bottled water, it can be sometimes a good product, mostly not. I think you'll be surprised when you get on the EWG and check it out. But that stuff, even when it is good, is trucked all over the place, and the amount of waste that goes into manufacturing is really staggering.
So, and not to mention the plastic bottles.
You've eliminated a huge amount of waste and redundancy in your system. And then you can buy these simple little bottles like Clean Canteen, which I have sitting right next to me now.
I have to mention these glass bottles that Mizar has given me a couple of, and she just gave me a purple one for Christmas, a reusable glass bottle. I know.
And they're all colored, right?
They're beautiful, yes.
I know. They're gorgeous. I was giving them a stocking stuffers this year for Christmas. So it was a good opportunity for me to, you know, further entertain my family with my stories about water. We just can't get enough of me, I'll bet. So what I do in my home, the way I started, even before I got the Pure 2O system, is I started with a little jug. I found a pretty old metal jug that was in a thrift store that I thought would look pretty on the counter, and I stuck it right next to the sink, and I told the kids, when you're done with your water from dinner, because they don't always drink a full glass, which is incredibly frustrating to me,
right.
But on those occasions when I can't get it down them, and they want to go and toss it into the sink, I said, you know what, take that glass and toss it into the pitcher. And then when the pitcher's full with all of that unused water, we can reuse it, and we can reuse it to feed our houseplants, and our houseplants clean the indoor air.
Oh, yeah.
So it kind of forms a nice closed loop for us, and the kids love it. So they'll often peek into the top of the jar and say, oh, you know, we're almost at the top, and we'll measure the whole way. So,
aww.
Oh, we're at the bottom again, and
yeah.
For some reason that I can't explain, it's incredibly exciting to them. So.
Aww.
And the system works perfectly. So we do that in the kitchen. And then sometimes when I'm feeling really motivated, I'll put a huge bucket in the shower.
Yeah.
I have a generously sized shower, so I can get in there with a bucket. And it captures all of the sprayed water that's normally going down the drain. And I can also feed houseplants that way.
Yep.
I've used it in the past to flush toilets. And I think I got that inspiration after, you know, one of the 8
yeah.
million times we lost power.
Lost power. Yes. Well, you know, one of the things...
we were running out of things, I thought, oh, I'll just flush the toilets with this water, and it works perfectly.
And now one of the things I also want to say about having a bucket in the shower is that sometimes, like, my shower takes like 5 solid minutes to get the hot water, right? So if I have a big bucket in there, at least, you know,
water.
I can get some of the water captured so I don't feel so bad about.
No, I agree, because I have the same issue. I think you can get a water pump for that, but that's down the ride.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's go on and talk about a couple of other things. Jennifer, the Wi-Fi timer, which sounds like a no-brainer.
Right. I love this idea. I know, Mizar, you know I do a lot of healthy home consults for folks. And I'll go in and measure the electromagnetic frequency pollution in the house with a really simple device that measures that in terms of units of Gauss. And the science has proven that any amount of field greater than 3 units of Gauss sustained for any period of time is deleterious to your health in a multitude of ways. So what you want to do is get the stress in your home all the way down to a negligible level from all of your electrical appliances. So I think we have lots of good ideas about, you know, turning off lights, and I'll often have the kids, I'll set a timer and say, okay, let's race and see who can turn off the most lights, because no matter how many times you tell them, it's like, you know, constantly yelling, close the front door, do you live in a barn? You know, lights. No matter how many times you tell them, too many lights wound up being on all the time. So I created the system, you know, first set the timer, you have 2 minutes, and you each have to go to separate parts of the house and meet back in the kitchen, and we're going to see who turned off the most amount of lights. Like, I'm making my kids sound like absolute imbeciles here, because they're easily entertained.
No, you're setting a fabulous precedent. You really are. You really are, okay. Jennifer.
I hope they're not going to grow up and hear this someday and be like, thanks a lot, Mom.
No, but, you know, this ties into...
To play with in the living room, and they're happy for hours.
I know. But this ties into... the vampire stuff that I talked about on Fox in my segment about vampire and phantom energy also, because other than, you know, you brought in the aspect of EMFs and our health, and that's something that I believe in, and it's an aspect I didn't get to talk about. But I like the whole thing because you can save energy, all those electronic appliances, you know.
Yeah, which is not just secondary. So, you know, you're saving all of that wattage. The, you know, your energy costs go down, which is great. And so the benefit of putting a timer on your Wi-Fi, like on your router, for example, usually somewhere in the basement or in the attic, sometimes you have more than one. You have a router that expands your Wi-Fi capability. And Wi-Fi is actually a really negative source of stress for human health, and we are bathed in it. There are countries around the world that are making it illegal to have Wi-Fi in public places because it causes so many negative health effects. So in your home, it's really important to protect that environment, particularly when you think about, you know, your kids, your family, your loved ones are spending 8, sometimes if they're lucky, 9 hours sleeping every night, but just bathed in this electromagnetic.
Well, actually, you know, frankly, I'm bathed in it all day long because I work from home.
Me too. I mean, and this is what
I don't turn the darn thing off. I don't. I never do.
Right. Yep.
No,
and,
I
you know,
do,
when you're
but
stuck, there are people who can't avoid it, and then there's some good mitigation strategies that I can talk to you about offline. Different products you can use to help protect your body from that field, like when you're flying, for example.
Yeah.
But so here, all you have to do is get one of those cheap timers from Home Depot, and program it. You know, I think I set mine for like 11 p.m. at night, and then it comes back on around 7 a.m. Which is great. So you miss all that electricity. You clean the environment up. It goes off. It goes on. You're none the wear. It's perfect.
Well, you know what? I can do that. I have one of these smart strips downstairs that has a timer.
Oh, that's great.
So there you go. I'm doing it. Thank you.
That's even better idea. I have heard those surge protectors sometimes have the timers.
That's what this one is. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Also, you know, a quick and easy thing to do is I have a fuse box on my second floor where the bedrooms are. So I have the one in the basement, which is kind of a hassle to get to. But the one near the bedrooms is actually a blessing. I thought it was really ugly when I moved in that it was in the laundry room before I realized, hey, this gives me the opportunity to kill the electricity into the boys' bedrooms when they go to sleep at night.
Wow.
So it just completely cuts off every source of electricity around their beds. And I would experiment for a while and not tell them I was doing it and then see, you know, how'd you sleep last night? And lo and behold, when I would investigate, they would sleep better with all the electricity cut off to the room.
Yeah, I removed most of, like, the cable box, got that out of the bedroom. I've got, you know, a lot of – I don't have anything near the bed anymore because I can't stand it. Just the thought of it makes me nuts.
I never heard of any of this.
Good sleep hygiene and good hygiene for health in general when you're dealing with it, because there's just fields you cannot avoid in the rest of your life. So when you can control them – or you can avoid them.
Right.
I think you're
minimizing. Yeah. All right. So now you had some other really basic but great suggestions, like, you know, blankets. You know, talk about the blankets in the living room.
And going shoe-free, which I love as well.
I know, me too.
Love that one.
You know, I think that is the simplest thing to institute in your house and maybe one of the most impactful, because when you think about your house and modern construction in particular, it's a really tightly sealed envelope. And when you think about what you're bringing into the house on the bottom of your shoes, it's really upsetting. You're walking through pesticides. I mean, maybe you have a perfectly pristine property, but out in the world, you're walking through parking lots with gasoline and petrochemicals, and you're picking up pesticides and herbicides and, you know, mites and bugs and parasites. And I mean, that's just
cheerful thought. Yeah.
Yummy.
That's it. No, I know.
And on top of the fact, just your shoes alone are incredibly toxic. The glues they use, the rubbers, so all those things off-gas for a very long period of time. So why not kick those to the curb? So I have a cute little sign that I found on the internet with like a little ribbon, and it says, kindly remove your shoes, and it hangs outside my front door. And then when you open the front door, I have, you know, a nice mat there and a big little, like, not really huge, but a little shoe tree.
Yeah.
And whenever I'm lucky enough to go away and they give you those cute little slippers, I bring those home.
That's a good idea.
I suitcase and tell everyone, when you do that, bring them back to me. And I keep out a little bucket of slippers, and I have also bought those little single-use booties. I don't advocate those, obviously, because they're single-use, but sometimes when you have an electrician in and they need to have a rubber sole for grounding purposes, they can't take their shoes off.
Right.
Right.
At least you can protect your floors and, you know, very,
well,
very,
you know, in Canada, in Toronto, but I guess most of Canada, everybody leaves their shoes on the curb. I mean, nobody walks into the house with their shoes. Antonio's boys are down, and their friends are down, and I have a pile of shoes just outside my door. My front door, and I'm thinking,
great.
Oh, my word. It's just, we just
you
never
need to
did that.
Take a picture
that.
Of that and then post it to your blog.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That
I'll send it to you
idea.
As well.
Well, I would love that. I'll throw it up on my Facebook page for Boyd Wellness.
There you go. We used to do that, and I haven't instituted it in this house yet, and I really need to kind of enforce.
Well, I need to do it because I don't like, they walk around in their socks. Yeah. I can't do it because My little piggies get cold.
Yeah, yeah.
They
yeah.
do. They
you
get
need
little
slippies.
I just knew I need my slippers.
Need your slippies. Now I know what I need to get you for the next holiday.
Yes, please do, because soon. Roxy has gotten three pairs of my slippers, and my daughter's dog.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear is correct. All right, and the blankets, Jennifer, this is a great idea, too, for when you're just lounging around the house.
Absolutely. Well, before I go on to the blankets, let me just go back to one point that you were making about those shoes. So I leave those little slippers out, but also when I'm having a party, and it's sometimes a little awkward to ask everyone to remove their shoes, and I feel like, oh, maybe I should just let it go. But then I think, gosh, I have kids in the house, and this is also really important for people who have pets, and particularly who have babies who are crawling around on the floor. You need to guard that home environment, that air quality, really tenaciously for them. So one of the things you can do when you're having a party and feeling like, oh, this might be awkward, is put on the invitation, as I do, we have a shoeless house, and creativity counts for your socks. And sometimes I'll give like a little wrapped gift to somebody, like for the zaniest pair of socks.
Right, right. I like that.
That's
so
clever.
I try to make a game out of it.
Yeah.
It can be a little kooky for people, and particularly older generations.
Oh, yeah. My husband actually gets offended because my kids do that with the babies. They don't. They
okay,
we
I'm
take the
tell
shoes off.
That you refer to him as the older generation.
Well, yeah. Well, he'll admit it. But yeah, he gets crabby. He gets crabby. I don't want to take my shoes off.
Yeah.
Right.
But, he does it. He does it anyway.
Yeah, you have to do the best you can, just trying to get, encouraging people to do it. And then when I go to their house, I return the favor and take my shoes off and say, oh, you know, is it all right if I leave my shoes by the door? I don't want to track in God knows what with me.
Well, Jennifer, you have an advantage, too. What are you, 5'8", 5'9"?
Me, 5'10".
You're 5'10", you see. So you always look beautifully statuesque, where me, I'm a sawed-off anything.
Yeah.
I always feel like if I'm not wearing high heels at a party, that I'm like the gnome fading into the corner.
You, and I'm shorter than you are. Shorter than I am.
But a gnome.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
just
hilarious. I think that is exactly how I look, is statuesque in all settings. That's
you
what my kids would
say.
Do with
absolutely do, which is, when I come back in my next life, I'm going to have a femur that never ends.
I know,
That's my plan, Jennifer.
You've clearly never seen me dance.
That doesn't matter. You probably look good doing it anyway.
Do you do the Elaine dance?
Anybody know Seinfeld?
From Seinfeld.
All right.
Oh, the Elaine dance, yeah.
Now, listen, we have to cut this off and say goodbye, but we'll have to have you back on the show, and maybe when you're down in the area, we can coordinate and get you in the studio. It'll be fun.
Oh, I love that. It's such a pleasure talking with you ladies. I love the show. You put such interesting information up on your website. I so love surfing it.
Thank you so much. And thanks for calling in. And we're going to put information
Other two tips that we didn't get to.
Yeah, we're
going to
put
those on.
All on our website and how people can find Jennifer and learn more, okay?
Thank you. And look for me on Facebook under Boyd Wellness. I posted some info about this show up there in case people want
good.
To follow up.
And we'll make sure that we link to you from the Green Divas page there.
Okay,
Boyd
thank
Wellness.
You. Happy, healthy New Year.
Thank
you.
You too,
Jennifer. Thanks for everything.
Bye-bye.
Bye, ladies.
Wow. We have managed to, burn up another hour, man.
How does that happen?
Yeah. Well, it's fun is what it is.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's
true,
and it's stress-free.
Low stress, anyway. I don't know. Maybe it's stress-free for you, but me over here trying to figure out all this tech.
Low
I don't
stress.
Know.
Well, we have to get you a tech. Maybe we'll get an intern. What about that?
I know. I'm looking at Jamie like,
but she's not. She's in front of the scenes, you know?
Me is technology. Yeah. I don't even know how to use my phone, so.
Well, I'm still learning, and I've had it a year and a half already. Yeah, no.
I know. People expect people my age, you know?
Listen, everybody's got to go to thegreendivas.com and check out all the deets on this show. But also, you can go to our Facebook page and like us because we love the love. And we'll love you back if we can.
We will. Yeah.
And
the love you give is the love you get.
Green Divas Radio Show on Facebook. And stay tuned. And we'll be back next week. And I forgot who we're having on next week, so I will post that as well.
Okay.
But we're all booked up. We have all kinds of fun things coming up.
We really do.
We do.
We're just kicking this season off and this year off with a bang, and we're just not going to stop.
Not stopping. Have a great green week, folks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, follow them on Facebook and Twitter, and don't forget to visit the blog at thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. And remember to share the good green news with friends and family.